Second Chronicles, the 34th chapter. Just getting God's Word tonight. Second Chronicles, 34th chapter. I'll start reading the first verse. I'm going to read just a few verses right here. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and inclined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleaned Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the city of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even into Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Okay, we're going to look at this portion of Scripture tonight. We're going to look at some more of these verses through here. But we're going to look at Josiah for just a few minutes tonight. And I want us to think about him being an agent of change. An agent of change. That's how the Lord put on my heart to deal with this. And of course, I'm not just going to talk about Dr. Josiah being an agent of change. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go farther. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege you give us to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good time we've already had. Lord, singing your praises, and Lord, hearing your people already worship you, Lord, and brag on you, and Lord, and give prayer requests, Lord, because they believe you and trust you. Lord, thank you for all that's already been done here tonight. We thank you for each and every one. Have your way in the service tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray for our pastor, Lord, tonight. As he's getting in God's Word, I pray for him, Father, that you'd fill him, give him your anointing, your unction to preach your Word, bring his remembrance of the things he studied, things you'd have him to say, Lord, that those people need. Lord, change hearts and lives, and do that also here tonight, Lord, I pray. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Don't let us leave here the same. Help us to leave, Lord, tonight a little more mature, a little more built up, a little more dedicated, on a little higher level than we were when we came, Lord. I pray, though, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to be agents of change. Help us, Lord. Lord, you didn't just put this in your Word by accident. You want us to read it, Lord. You want us to learn from something from the life of Josiah. I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Lord, work in our hearts and lives. We thank you and praise you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to look for just a few minutes tonight about about Josiah. The Bible says he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he began to reign in his father's stead, and he was just 8 years old. Well, the Bible said that makes a statement in the book of Chronicles and Judges. It does the same way at the beginning of each one of these kings' reigns. If you've noticed that, if you read it much, it tells whether they did right or wrong in the sight of the Lord, whether they did right or whether they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says here that Josiah did that was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. So he was a pretty straight walker. He wanted to do what was right, and he wanted to do exactly right. And it said he didn't go to the left or to the right, but he did the right. And there is a right. I'm glad there's a right. I'm glad there's an absolute right. This is absolutely the Word of God. There are absolutes. It don't matter what the liberals and agnostics say, whether they might say sin's relevant, but sin's not relevant. This defines what right and wrong is right here. This is right. So we have an absolute right. And Josiah walked in the right. And we can still walk in the right today. God's people can still, there's still a right and a wrong. And we need to find out what it is. And this tells us pretty clearly what it is. We need to get in this and figure it out. God will let you know. If you're His, He'll talk to you about it. You won't be mistaken. He'll let you know what's right and what's wrong. And if it even has a similitude of wrong, just stay away from it. I mean, don't let there be no question. If you think, I don't know for sure if this is wrong or not, well, just stay away from it until you are absolutely sure. Don't let there be no question about it. The devil will get you that way. He'll tell you little lies. Well, this may not be wrong, so I'm going to do it. It may not be wrong. If you have any question about it, just stay away from it until the Lord shows you otherwise. Sometimes we try to excuse ourselves that way, don't we? This may not be wrong. Let's not try to see how close we can get to wrong. Let's try to see how far we can get toward the right side. But Josiah did that was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He was in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. That's probably when he got saved. That was his salvation right there. That's when he started seeking the Lord. Maybe the high priest had talked to him. Maybe I'm sure he had a lot of instructors. This was also during the time of Jeremiah, and I believe it was Jeremiah and Jephaniah. It's hard to tell how many of those godly men had talked to him. And his mama, I believe her name was Jedidiah, and her name means who is like the Lord. And those days their names meant something. So probably she was a believer herself and followed the Lord herself and had taught her boy the right way. And so the Bible says in the eighth year of his reign, that means he began to reign when he was 8 years old. So this is when he's 16 years old. And when he was 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. So that would have been when he was 20 years old. When he was 20 years old, he got down to business. He got saved when he was 16 years old, and four years after that, he got down to business, and he started purging. He started being an agent of change. And God intends for every one of His people to be an agent of change. We're all ambassadors for Christ. We're all witnesses. We're all citizens of heaven. We're supposed to be living like it. We're supposed to be taking it everywhere we go, be it everywhere we go. I'm not supposed to be one thing at church and another thing at home and another thing at school and another thing at the workplace. I need to be the same everywhere. And God, I'm glad you said that a while ago. God does want us to start right now, don't He, Brother Ivan? He wants us to start right now if we haven't started so far. Josiah, he got saved when he was 16 years old. And then when he was 20, he was already ruling and he was straightening them out. I mean, he was ruling. He was already prepared. I don't know what all God did to prepare him, but God prepared him. And by the time he was 20 years old, he was starting to straighten the country out. Starting to straighten the country out. He started reforming things. And the Bible said right there, in the 20th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and molten images. So he began to clean them up. He began to get rid of the bad things in Jerusalem. He began to get rid of the bad things, the high places. That's where they worship the false idols, the false gods, and the groves and the carved images and molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the image that were high above them. And the Bible, you notice there, the Bible says, in His presence. When He was there, when they was getting rid of Him. He went there to make sure they got rid of Him. He was there in those groves and those altars and those high places. He went there personally to make sure it was gotten rid of. He really got saved. He really got saved when he was 16. And God began to change him. And because God changed him, God started changing everybody, changing things around him too. God intends for you to be an agent of change wherever He's got you at. You are a heavenly citizen. You are an ambassador for Christ. That's who you are. That's just who you are. That's not what you would like to be. That's not what you maybe will be sometime. That's what you are. And that's what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. We're agents of change. We used to be, but we're not anymore, those bad things. And now we are good for God. Created in Christ Jesus and two good works. Wherefore that God had before ordained that we should walk in them. See, God already had determined it, decided it, planned it down, put it down, decided it. He intends for you to walk in good works. That's the plan for your life. That's who you are. That's who you are. Whoever you are, that's who you are. If you're a young person, that's who you are. You're an agent of change for good. It should be better everywhere you are. It doesn't matter. Some people aren't going to agree with you. People aren't going to agree with you. I went outside to empty trash at our school today, and these two women were out there emptying trash. And this boy walked up, and that boy asked one of the women, said, "You out here cussing?" And she sort of looked at me and she said, "No." Nah. She said, "I don't do that around Mike." And I said, "Well, good." I said, "Maybe I ought to stay around more then." I said, "I'm busy, I've got to go." But that made me feel sort of good, because that told me they respected me. That told me that, see, that's being an agent of change. They know you don't do it. They know you're not like that. You're not one of them. You're different. So some of them won't respect you. Some of them will just spit it in your face anyway. But there will be some who will respect you, who will realize that you're different, and you're an agent of, see, you're an agent of good in that area. You keep some of the evil pushed back. You know, really, that's what the Holy Spirit does in this world, don't He? Brother Barry preached on that when he preached on the second coming. He that hindereth, we hinder until he be taken out. And the Holy Spirit's a hindering thing. Hold evil back while he's here. And you know what? How he's doing that? He's doing that in the lives of believers. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, when I go somewhere, if I'm a child of God and I'm walking right and living right, the Holy Spirit's working in me to work everywhere I go, if I'm what I should be. Sometimes it won't be popular. Sometimes it won't even be fun. Sometimes it might be hard. But He's still doing His work. He's still doing His work. I remember I read about the, and I don't remember the man's name now. You know, the Romans, they used to put Christians to death and all that. And you know, this one Christian man, I can't remember his name right now. But I'm told that was when that ended, when this man there, he went to where they were. And they was having their tournaments or whatever they had, killing people, you know, and being barbarous. And he ran right up where he was, and he said, in the name of Christ, halt. And he kept hollering, "In the name of Christ, halt." And they speared him. And he lay there and died. And everybody just got up and left. And they said that was the last one they ever had. He gave his life. But he was an agent of change, though. God used him to stop something barbarous that shouldn't have been going on. And he served God's purpose where he was. And they said that never did go on there no more. That ended it. That put an end to it. The Lord used him to put an end to it. Josiah was an agent of change where he was. And that's what the Lord wants us all to be. So he reformed. He got rid of the evil things. He knew he had to get rid of the evil before he could institute the good. And see, that's what the Lord wants us to do in our lives, isn't it? He wants us to be agents of change. And He wants us to change. But we need to get rid of the evil before he can really start the good. God don't just, now it has to be both. And it has to be both. That's happened in my life before. Something was going on that shouldn't have been going on. Well, I can't just do good and ignore that thing that's going on. I can't just ignore. Can't just do good and start doing good and ignore what's going on. God don't work that way, does He? But I had to recognize that thing that God had pointed out. That's bad. And I had to get rid of that thing. And then when I got rid of that thing, then God was ready to put in some good things. And He wants to put in good things. There has to be good things put in. Even in our families and our children's lives, there needs to be good things put in. We need to get rid of some things first. But then we have to put in some good things also to take their places. Because if we don't institute good things, well, the enemy will just come right back in and put in some more bad things. But he reformed. He broke down the altars. And I don't know how popular he was with everybody, but he sure did do the work. The Bible says there in the 8th verse, now in the 18th year of his reign, that would have been when he was 26, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan and the son of Azaliah and Manasseh, the governor of the city, and John, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. The house of the Lord had been let go, and it was run down. So he sent them to repair the house of the Lord. And if you look with me over to verse 14, and when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given to Moses. See, now through neglect, the law of the Lord had been set aside and lost. Because people had backslid and didn't care. They had put the law of the Lord, the Word of God, they'd put it aside and neglected it and lost it. They didn't even know where it was. A lot of them didn't even care where it was. But Josiah, whose heart was right with the Lord, and who was reforming and who was repairing the house of God and who was doing right, who wanted to do things right, they found the law of the Lord, and the Bible says, look how he reacts when they bring it to him. Let me see right here. In verse 19, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. When he heard the word of God, when they read the word of God to him, he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. Here, they hadn't had the word in so long, and they'd strayed so far, and he's already doing reforms, and he's already trying to do things right. But then he hears God's word, and he says, "Oh my!" And he rents his clothes. He rents his clothes to show his disgust for how they were living, how they were. He saw how the word of God said this, and they were doing this. And see, he took God's word seriously. Some people don't take God's word too seriously. But when he read it, he took it seriously. And when God's word said something, and he saw that wasn't what they were doing, it tore him up. To put it in country language, it tore him up. And it should tear us up. That's why we should read God's word to see what it says. And when part of God's word don't correspond with that in my life, it should tear me up. Because I should correspond with His Word. And when I see my life not corresponding with His Word, it ought to make me get very serious. Because the Lord takes His Word very seriously. He takes His Word seriously. And when I'm not corresponding with His Word, we'll see right here in a minute, He took it seriously. And He knew that meant something. They weren't going by the book. They weren't going by the Word. And He took it seriously. He knew that meant something. The Bible says right here in verse 21, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great wrath of the Lord that is for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." So he rents his clothes and he tells them to inquire of the Lord. And he says, "Great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers had not kept the word of the Lord." He knew that judgment was coming because they weren't right. They weren't right with the Lord, so judgment was coming. See, he took it seriously, didn't he? He took God's word seriously. We should take God's word seriously. But Josiah was an agent of change. I mean, he acted on what was right. He acted on the Word of God. He said, "Oh, we need to pray. We need to inquire of the Lord, see what He wants, because His wrath is going to be poured out on us, because our fathers haven't kept it. Our fathers haven't kept His Word." So he took it seriously. And how seriously do we take God's Word? Do we read it? Do we know what it says? We ought to know what it says. We ought to get right with it. If it don't, if it if we don't agree with it, then we're the ones that need to get right. Not it. Isn't that right? I'm the one that needs to get right. If there's a disagreement, I know who's wrong. It's me that's wrong. It's not it. And we need to show our young people that too. Young people need to see mom and dad get right sometime. You know that? They need to hear mom and dad say, I'm sorry. I ain't been doing what God said. And I'm sorry. Our young people need to see us do that sometime. They need to hear us say we're sorry. And they need to see us get right when we need to get right. If we act like there ain't nothing wrong, they'll grow up to be people that act like there ain't nothing wrong also. We need to get right. We need to let them know that we're wrong sometimes also. And that there is a Word of God that is important, and that God takes it seriously, and that we're supposed to take it seriously also. And so he tells them right here to inquire. Now I want you to hear, it does matter. It does matter what you do and what you believe. It does matter if you stand on God's Word and you do what's right. I mean, before the Lord, it does matter. It matters. Let me show you that it matters. God took notice of Josiah. God took notice of what he was doing, how his heart was, the stand he was taking. God took notice of it. God saw him reform. God saw him burn down the altars and the images. God saw him rend his clothes. God saw his heart. Let's see right here in verse 24. Thus saith the Lord. And they inquired, and the Bible said in verse 23, and she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, tell Josiah. In verse 24, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and then rent thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. You hear that? The Lord said, I saw your heart. I saw the tenderness of your heart. I heard you weep. I saw you rent your clothes. And because of the attitude of your heart, these things aren't going to come on you. It did matter. God sees, God hears, God knows. He knows. He knows what you're doing. He knows how your heart is. He knows the stand you're taking for Him. He knows. Sometimes it may not seem like He knows. Sometimes we get sort of discouraged and down. Sometimes we maybe get the poochy lip and even get a little bitter sometimes. Why is this happening to me? And the devil will start lying to you like he did Adam and Eve. You deserve better than this. And God's keeping things from you and all that, you know. But we need to look in the book to see what the truth is. And the truth is that God does hear, and He does know, and He does consider, and He does respect what you're doing, and what you're doing for Him, the stand you're taking, and how you love His Word, you're obeying His Word, you're doing His will. God knows that. God knows that. No, it's not time to quit. It's time to go on even farther, get even closer, get even farther with Him. That's what it's time for. God sees what's going on. God knows what's going on in my life and in your life. We need to be agents of change like Josiah was. Your labor's not in vain in the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord knows. And your labor's not in vain. And the Lord is, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. This ain't your home. Don't expect a whole lot of good treatment here. This ain't your home yet. I'm glad the family gets together sometime. I'm talking about right here. I'm glad the family gets together sometime. But we're all spread out. And this world's not our home.
Amen.
And we need to, that's why we need not forsaking and assembling ourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, we need to get together more because we need each other. We need each other. We need to get in here where I can hear the Spirit of God speak through you and you can hear Him speak through me. We can sing His praises and fellowship, and God makes it real to us. We get in here and God makes it real to us again, and we can go out walking a little higher and a little taller with our faith built up more and ready to go out and do battle another day. God does that for us, don't He? He's done that many times. He does that. But Josiah, he was an agent of change, and every one of us can be an agent of change also. Every one of us can reform. Every one of us can walk the way we're supposed to be walking in this world, as bad as it is. Every one of us can. And the Bible says in chapter 35, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. And it goes down through, I'm not going to read all that, but it goes down through our talking about the Passover that he kept. And he kept the Passover like they hadn't kept in a long time. And what they were doing when they were keeping a Passover, they were remembering when Moses brought them through the Red Sea. When the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed and the blood was put on the doorpost and on the lintel. And God spared the Israelites. And God brought them out of Egypt. And that's what they were remembering. In other words, they were remembering that they were a redeemed people. That's what they were remembering.
Amen.
They were remembering that they were a redeemed people. And that's who we are, ain't it? We're a redeemed people, and we're supposed to be remembering it. And Josiah made people remember that. He brought it to their mind again. All these things he did in instituting the Passover again, he said, let's not forget who we are and why we're here and what God's done for us. What He's done for us. And the Bible says, let me look right over here. Well, I can't find the. I must have forgot to mark that verse. Can't half see. In verse 18, chapter 35, and there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Now, he said it never had been a Passover kept like he kept. God's people were supposed to be remembering who they were. Remembering they were a redeemed people who God redeemed out of Egypt. Saved their lives and gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. And he told them when he brought them into that land, he told them to be careful and not forget that the Lord brought them out. Be careful and not forget. He told them to be careful and not get to the place that they thought, well, I've got this with my own power and my own hands. And you know, we Christians do that some today, don't we? We get so carnal sometimes that we think, well, I sure have got me a lot of stuff. I sure have got me a lot of things. I've brought myself a long way. Yeah, we brought ourselves a long way, all right. A lot of us would be in hell today if it wasn't for His mercy and His grace. But He's the one that's got us where we are. He's the one that's got us where we are. But I'm about done. But what I wanted us to see tonight is Josiah was an agent of change. He made changes. He made decisions, and it changed the whole nation. And the commentators I've read after, you know, says that Josiah made reforms and it changed the whole country, but it didn't change people's heart, because after he was gone, they was quick to go the other way again. It didn't change their heart. But Josiah made tremendous changes where he was. It changed around him. Everything changed. The bad was taken down, the good was instituted, and he got people to look at the law of the Lord again, and the law of God. It caused them to keep the Passover, to remember that they were a redeemed people. And every one of us can be a Josiah, an agent of change. God wants me to be an agent of change where I am. I'm not too much. I'm not too much. But God is everything. And He's the one that can work in me. As little as I am, you put everything besides not nothing, and you see the everything. And see, you may be a nothing, but see, everything is behind you. And so everything can make them see everything. It don't matter too much if they see the nothing. They don't need to see me very much. And I just get the benefits. I get the benefits. I mean, I get forever is what I get. That should be plenty enough. That should be plenty. I get forever. But He's everything, and He's what people need to be seeing. And if I'll seek Him, like Josiah sought Him, and I'll walk right as Josiah walked, not to the right hand or to the left. And if I'll institute God's Word in my life, and honor God's law in my life, and tell people what's right around me, and if I'll stand before God and I'll seek Him, He'll use this little instrument as His mouthpiece to tell people about the Lord Jesus. He'll use this little instrument to tell people about the Lord Jesus. When I was young, and I still like it, I always liked that song, Little As Much When God Is In It. Yes. Little As Much When God Is In It. Because I always did think I was pretty little, especially when I was young. I was real shy, still sort of shy. But little as much when God is in it. I may not be much, but God's everything. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can all be a Josiah. Wherever you're at, you can be a Josiah. At your workplace, you can be a Josiah. If you'll seek God and you'll honor His Word, you can be a Josiah wherever you are. You can be an agent of change around you. I want to be an agent of change at Belton School. I want to help the saved people. I want to help the saved teachers and the saved custodians. I want to help be an encouragement and strength and help to them and encourage them to do more and go farther. And I want those students that don't know Jesus, I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them about Him. I'm supposed to be an agent. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's what I am supposed to be. And that's what you are supposed to be where you are. You say, well, I can't do it. I know it. I can't do it either. But God can do anything. So God can take a little nothing and use it. I mean, He's going to put this little piece of clay together. I reckon He can do anything He wants to with it.
Amen.
He's going to put this little... That's what He did. He's going to put it together. He's the one who made this little dust ball in outer space called Earth. He's the one who made it. He's the one who put it here. He hung it on nothing, spoke it into existence. By the word of His power and the power of His word, He's the one who put it here. I don't know. Those scientists claim that there's stars that's bigger than our whole solar system. I don't know if that's true or not. I never have been there. But if they are there, I know who made it. I know who made it all. I like to just go out and look at the night sky sometimes, look up. And sometimes I think of that song, How Great They Are. And you go out and look up and you think, my goodness, He put it all there. By His Word. By His Word. And you don't think He can use little things like me and you? If He put all this here, put it all together, we can be agents of change where we are. I've heard people say that the church is a sleeping giant. And we are. But His church is a sleeping giant. If His church would get to praying and seeking Him and honoring His Word and walking in His will, it's hard telling. Hard telling what He'd do. Hard telling what He'd do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we quit tonight. Your Heavenly Father, we thank You for this privilege You give us to be here tonight. Thank You, Father, for Your precious Word. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your Word, Lord. Tell us the story of Josiah, Lord, but it's not just a story. Lord, it's Your Word to us. Lord, Your Holy Spirit tells us that we should be like Josiah, that we should be reformers and agents of change, Lord. That You'll work in our lives just like You worked in his life. It may not be over a nation, but it can be over communities. It can be over families. It can be over our workplaces. Lord, it's hard telling what it could be if we would just let You do what You want to do. If we'd let You have Your way, have Your way in our lives, Lord, You'll be all the glory. Help us to get serious about serving You, Lord. Help us to be willing to change. Help us to be willing, Lord, to change, to be what You want us to be, so that You can do what You want. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and grace and mercy. Thank You for putting us here together for such a time as this. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.